Blog Talk Radio.
Have brought us through, Father God, and all we can say is thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, an awesome and mighty God. Lord, for just being our Father, our friend, Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This morning I just woke up with a thank you in my spirit, thanking Mother Valerie this morning. Well, calling, because I'm going to just be honest. Your host was sleeping real, real good today. And I'm just thankful to be awake, thankful to be up, thankful to see the sun coming up this morning, thankful for hearing the birds singing outside my window, just thankful that I'm clothed in my right mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing good. God is good. It's a beautiful day.
Yes. Glory. And our title for this morning is Let God Be Magnified. Hallelujah. Coming out of the 70th Psalm. But we have to let God be magnified. Again, as the children used to sing, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And today in our word, God will be magnified in everything he does. Elijah, whew, what a mighty man of God. You know, he did not hesitate to kill those prophets of Baal. He did not hesitate to kill the prophets of Asherah. He did not hesitate, you know, after he made them look bad. Grab him. Get rid of this mess. You know, because he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. You think about it. He is a man of God running. Wicked king and a wicked queen. But Ahab understood and knew, because Ahab was a descendant. He knew exactly who God was. He knew he was in the wrong direction. But because he loved, again, there we go, loved his wife. Whatever she said, do, he did it. In our lesson on tomorrow, we'll find out what she did for him, because she wanted to make him happy. So she do all kind of wicked stuff. She's just a wicked, wretched woman. One thing. We can talk about Jezebel all we want, but when we talk about Jezebel, the one thing you can say is, even though they was evil to the core, she loved Ahab, and Ahab loved her. But they both needed to love God more than they loved each other. And they never caught that and never got that. And that's why they wound up going through what they went through. And everything that a man of God says will come to pass. You know, again, that is a tomorrow lesson. So I'm turning it over this morning to Mother Valerie to pray us in and take us to the throne. Hallelujah. Again, good morning, Mother. I turn it over to you. I present the psalm and introduce the others. Mother Valerie Bell, minister. Mother Valerie Bell, she is a mother of this ministry as well as of my regular church. She is a licensed minister, and I am so happy to call her my godmother as well as my friend. So, Mother, I turn it over to you again. Take us to the throne.
Good morning. Good morning, saints of God, and good morning, people of God. Lord, we thank and praise you for this day, for this is the day that you made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, thank you for help and strength. Thank you for allowing us to see the sun rise. Thank you for all that you do, will do, and have done. Thank you for blessing Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse, and Pastor Michelle. Thank you for blessing all the workers, all the pastors, all your people that have to be leaders and teach your people the way you want them to be taught. Oh, God, let this message come forth the way you want it done. In Jesus' name, we thank you for another day. And we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up, we worship you. For you're the only God. There is no other in all the earth but you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading 2 Kings 19 and 1, 20 and 43. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, ran for his life, went to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down up on a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. It's enough. Now, Lord, take my life. For I am no better than my fathers. Then as he laid and slept on the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked. There by his head was a cake baked on coals, jar of water. So he ate and drank, laid down again. Angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate, drank. He went in the strength of that day, 40 days, 40 nights, as far as Hebrew, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave, spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. They seek to take my life. Then he said, go out, stand on the mountains before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle, went out, stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. They seek to take my life. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Mehoah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. And so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And when he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you. And he said, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, boiled their flesh using the oxen equipment, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elisha, and became his servant. Now, chapter 20. Now, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together, 32 kings were with him with horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria, made war against it. Then he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine. Your lovely wives and children are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours. Then the messengers came back and said, thus speak Ben-Hadad, saying, indeed, I have sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house, houses of your servants. It shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hand and take it. So the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, notice, please, see how this man seeks trouble. For he sent to me for my wives, my children, my silver, my gold. I did not deny him. And all the elders and all the people said to him, do not listen or consent. Therefore he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all this you sent for to your servants the first time I will do. But this thing I cannot do. Messengers departed, brought back word to him. Then Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, the gods do so to me and more also, if enough dust is left of Samaria for a handful for each of the people who followed me. So the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off. Happened when Ben-Hadad heard the message as he and the kings were drinking at the command post that he said to his servant, get ready. And they got ready to attack the city. Suddenly, a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hands today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the province. Then he said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered, you. Then he mustered the young leaders of the province, and there were 232. And after them, he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel, 7,000. They went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad came, the 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post. Young leaders of the province went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out a patrol. They told him, saying, men are coming out of Syria. So he said, if they have come out for peace, take them alive. And if they have come out for war, take them alive. Then the young leaders of the province went out of the city with the army which followed them. Each one killed his man. So the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And then Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel went out, attacked the horses and chariots, and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel, said to him, go strengthen yourself. Take note. See what you should do. For in the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. Then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are gods of the hill. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we'll be stronger than they. So do this thing. The Mr. King, each from his position, put captains in their places. You shall muster in an army, like the army that you've lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely we'll be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice and did so. So it was in the spring of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went up to Atak to fight against Israel. Children of Israel were mustered and given provision. They went against them. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats while the Syrians filled the countryside. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand. You shall know that I am the Lord. And they encamped opposite each other for 7 days. So it was that on the seventh day, the battle was joined. Children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city. Then a wall fell on the 27,000 men who were left. Ben-Hadad fled and went into the city into an inner chamber. Then his servant said to him, look now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful. King, please let us put sackcloth around our waist, ropes around our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life. So they wore sackcloth around their waist, put ropes around their heads, came to the king of Israel and said, your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live. And he said, is he still alive? He is my brother. Now the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy would come from him. They quickly gasped at this word and said, your brother Ben-Hadad? So he said, go bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he had him come up into the chariot. So Ben-Hadad said to him, the cities which my father took from your father, I will restore, and you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria. Then Ahab said, I will send you away with this treaty. So he made a treaty with him, sent him away. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophet said to his neighbor by the word of the Lord, strike me, please. Man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you. And as soon as he left, the lion found him and killed him. And he found another man and said, strike me, please. So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet departed, waited for the king by the road, disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle. There a man came over, brought a man to me, and he said, guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver. While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eyes. King of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I have appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people. So the king of Israel went to his house, Shechem, displeased, and came to Samaria. So when you don't obey the voice of the Lord, then things begin to happen to you. You should always obey the voice of God, and he didn't. So his life had to be for the man's life that he didn't destroy. Life lessons, 1 Kings 19 and 18. I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. Even in the worst of times, God would not leave himself without a regiment and a witness. When we feel isolated all alone, we aren't. God is at work in hearts that we never see. When Elijah said, I alone am left. There are no other prophets in all Israel. I'm alone by myself. Jezebel seeks my life. And he was just moaning and crying, but God told him, there's 7,000 people, 7,000 prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah was having a pity party, and I'm surprised that, Elijah knew the Lord, but when Jezebel threatened his life, he forgot, I believe, who he was and that he knew the Lord. He started running from a woman. And he ran until God spoke to him in a small, still voice. He spoke to him, and ask them, what are you doing in this cave? If you just listen, you know, we have to listen and be obedient to what God is telling us to do. Sometimes we don't recognize the voice of God, and we think it's our own voice. But gradually, as you go in the Lord, you will know that it's not you telling you to do this thing. It is God, and you have to do what God says to do. You have to be obedient. Life lessons, 1 Kings 19:2. Let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. Great challenge often follows great victory. Elijah had just seen God do a great miracle, but Jezebel's threat unnerved him. None of us stand strong in faith all the time, and God uses us anyway. Like I said, he ran from that woman, and he knew the voice of God. He did know. But when she said, I'm gonna kill you because you killed all the prophets of Baal, then he got fearful and started running from Jezebel. Life lessons. How can I develop, maintain an attitude of active listening before the Lord? Many people seem uncomfortable with silence. However, we are able to hear the still small voice of the Lord. Certainly, the prophet Elijah knew this. After receiving a death threat from Queen Jezebel, Elijah escaped to an isolated desert area. There in a cave, he heard the Lord say to him, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After earthquake, a fire. Lord was not in the fire. After fire, a still, small voice. So it was. When Elijah heard it, wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood on the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing, Elijah? Quietness is essential to listening. If we are too busy to sit in silence in his presence, if we are preoccupied with thoughts or concerns about the day, if we have filled our minds for hour upon hour with carnal interference, aimless chatter, then we're going to have difficulty truly listening to the still, small voice of God. Set a time to wait upon the Lord in silence. You may find that late night, early morning is a good time of solitude and quiet for you. A noonday walk in the park may be a time when you can quiet your soul before the Lord. Ask the Lord to reveal to you a time and a place where you might turn off the cares and worries of the world for a few minutes and listen to him. So often we spend our time in prayer time by talking to the Lord without spending any time just waiting in silence to see what the Lord might have to say to us. Take time to intentionally sit or kneel in silence before the Lord. Empty your mind of all other thoughts. Concentrate on his word and his presence with you. Ask God to speak to you. That's what I tell my brother. A lot of times, if you really want to know if the Bible is true, just ask God. I mean, these are his words to us. Old Testament and New Testament, ask God. A lot of times, people don't really know what to do when they have problems come up, but we're supposed to sit in silence and ask God, what shall I do? Go to the throne and not to the phone. A lot of people will ask their friends, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And sometimes we just forget to go to God. We need to prayerfully seek the Lord in all things and be obedient to his voice. A lot of times people say they don't understand or they can't hear the voice of God. Well, go to his word. They have a dictionary for different things that are happening in your life. If you're worried, if you're depressed, if you don't feel good, if you're troubled, they have books out about how to see God in his word on every single thing that you do. So you have to be obedient to God's word. I mean, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what the Bible say in God's word. And God means what he say, and he say what he means. I was reading just now about the man lost his life because he didn't do. He lost his life, the life of his people. He did not, he was not obedient, did not do what God told him to do. And it can cost you your life. So we got to learn to recognize that very still voice of God and do what God said do, not what we want to do. A lot of times people say, well, you know, Saul. Saul didn't do what God told him to do, and he lost a kingdom. He lost being a king. Gave it to a shepherd boy, David, because Saul listened to the people. That's what he did. He listened to the people instead of waiting on the Lord. And like the prophet said, Saul, what have you done? And he said, well, you didn't come or show up in time, so I listened to the people. I was afraid of the people, and I offered sacrifice. That was something that Saul wasn't supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to do that, but he was afraid of the people. He listened to the people instead of God. So we have to learn. We actually have to learn to listen to God no matter what trouble you're going through, no matter who tell you to do what. Seek God. Seek God on different things. Like if you're having problems and don't know which way to go on different things, you need to seek God. And that's what I'm doing in my life right now. I'm asking God to help me make a decision. And when it's made, it will be made. But you have to seek God. That goes for me and anybody else. Be obedient to the voice of God. Wow. Mm-hmm. I thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, and I'm turning this back over to the pastor.
Amen. What a word. What a word. And we know that God was magnified. You know, Elijah did not play, and Elisha did not play either. You know, when Elijah gave over to Elisha, it was for a purpose and a reason. Because when we go through, we're going to see Elisha do some of the same awesome and great things that Elijah did. And, you know, when it said, listen, Mother, that just touched my heart because you're right. We want to talk for God. You know how we talk over each other. Sometimes we want to talk over God. God's trying to tell you something, and you're too busy talking that you miss out on what he's trying to tell you. You miss out on his grace. You miss out on so much because you're trying to out-talk God. And when we need to learn to just be quiet, we need that quiet time with the Lord. You know, whether it's early in the morning or late at night, you just need to be quiet and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak, Lord. I need to hear your voice. Because that's how we get the discernment to know the voice of God over the voice of the enemy. Speak, Lord. And as we go into our word this morning, I am coming out of the 70th Psalm, which is also where our title comes from this morning. Let God be magnified. Woo! And all through the word, God was magnified, saved Elijah's life, gave him strength to take care of what he needed to do. Because I'm going to tell you, I got all excited when I read the word where Elijah took water, pour water all over the sacrifice, pour water in every crevice of the altar. God just came and just took it all, changed the people's minds, and all the prophets of Baal were killed. Jezebel has no idea what she's going up against, but she'll find out. in tomorrow's lesson, definitely she will find out what God has to say about her and about Ahab. So let's get into our word this morning. It says to the chief musician of David to bring to remember. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. And we all know that David was being hunted down like he was a fox on a hunt by Saul. Saul was angry. Saul was scared. Saul was jealous. And Saul went after David. And David is running for his life. And he said, let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. All those who seek and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation, they continually let God be magnified. David's like, hey, I've been through. I'm going through. There are folks that want to kill me. That want to hurt me. Let them be made ashamed. How many times did Saul, was Saul made ashamed? Because every time David had opportunity to kill him, he didn't. Every time David had opportunity to take him out, opportunity when he went into his camp and took his spear and his water, had opportunity in the cave many times. Those were big opportunities. And all he did was cut off a little tiny square. He said, hey, this is you. I could have killed you up here, but I didn't. Here's your spear. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Ashamed. Each time, God was magnified. Because David understood, vengeance is not mine, it's the Lord's. This battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And then it goes on to tell us, David humbles himself all through the song. And he says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. We have to have that in our spirit. When we are in we feel like we're in trouble financially or health-wise, whatever your situation, we all are poor and needy for the Lord. We all God. We all need his magnificence. We all need the hope that only he can bring. Cry out to God. You are my help and my deliverer. But do not delay. We've got to pray like David. Oh, Lord, do not delay. And as we go into our Proverbs this morning, we are in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 through 12, 1 through 2. And all I can say is, woo, Proverbs 18 is awesome. And as we go through it, you're going to understand. And it tells you, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing purpose. And I know we went through a lot of this on yesterday because I got carried away because the word was just good in our New Testament. So we're going to read it again because it's just that good. And it goes on to tell us in John 14 and 6, again, a word to read if you're just needing to see the magnificence of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Again, the Lord being magnified. Jesus said, I'm taking you on with me. I'm taking you to my Father's house. Hallelujah. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am in the life. Word for yesterday, and it is again. We magnify God because we know who his Son is. To the Father, except through me. When God is magnified, our Savior is magnified. Because our God and our Savior are one. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He said, let the Lord God be magnified. Let be magnified. As you see me, you see God. As you see me, you see my Father. We want to look past Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. We need to bow down to the Savior to know that it is only one God. His only Son to this wicked world to help us to save our lives. We must magnify the Lord every day. As Thomas says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. We got to worship God together. We got to know who he is. And how do we know who he is? Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Christ. He tells us who he is. We just have to believe who he is. He has told us. Truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The way to God is through his Son, who is the truth of everything that we do. Because there is no life in us without Jesus. We're just walking through like hamsters on a wheel, going nowhere. But when you know Jesus, you're like that hamster in the ball that can roll all over the house. Go from here to there and everywhere. You actually have to chase them down because they're all over the place. We've got to know God. And this is what he says, the word that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and does the work. Believe me. In the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. But most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whew, hallelujah. And then that John 14:14 words, whenever you're sick, whatever your financial situation, whatever your situation may be, whether it's your faith, you've got to ask. Said to us in John 14:14, if you ask anything, my name, I will do it. Heal my mind, Jesus. He said, I'll do it. Heal my body, Jesus. He said, I'll do it. We got to go to Jesus in his name. In Jesus' name, My mind is healed. In Jesus' name, my body is healed. In Jesus' name, my finances are healed. In Jesus' name, my relationship with my children is healed. Oh, in Jesus' name, I am going to that place to be with the Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm in the place. I'm in the house of God. We forget that we got to go to the house of God. We've got to be in the place where Jesus dwells. And God says, I dwell in this house. But understand the house that you carry with you every day. He's with you. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So he is with you wherever you go. What did Jesus say in the beginning? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said, I'm already gone. Your house is ready, my daughter. Your house is ready, my son. Your house is ready. To do is seek me. All you have to do is listen to the voice of the Father, as Mother read this morning. We've got to listen, and we've got to follow the commands that God gives us to do. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and the works that he will do, because I go to my Father. In my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask, ask for the glory of God. Ask in my name. I will do it. That sick child, you pray in Jesus' name for that healing. He also say, it will be done, Lord. Because again, God's will is not always ours. Doing what you ask. Asking for complete healing. He may take someone home. We got to understand that. Your words have power. If you love me, my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you and leave you by yourself. I'm leaving the Spirit with you. I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you. He will always be with you. That's how we talk to the Lord. That's how we talk to Jesus, through that Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Is your spirit light today? Is your spirit listening for the truth of a man? Because the spirit is wise and it is truthful. What did Jesus just tell us? The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. The Lord is telling us today, you spirit light up that I can discern a lie from the truth. And we got to follow God and not follow me. It's easy Amen. To follow after people, but it's sometimes harder to follow after God, because people you see and God you feel. But I tell Amen. You this, follow God. What he said, she said, woo-woo or boo-boo and them down the street say. You follow God. And sometimes when you follow God, talk about you like a dog. I don't know why she go to that church. I don't know why he goes to that church. I don't know why they always talk about the Lord. They in church every day. Every time you call, I got to go to church. Why you got to go to church so much? You don't take all of that. Might not take all that for you, but it may be different for me. Maybe I need that presence of God in his house. Maybe I need that physical altar to get on my knees. Maybe I need to just lay out before the Lord. We all need Jesus. And we all want the Lord God to be magnified in whatever we do. Do people see his light in you? And it goes on to tell us a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. I live. You will live also. Because I live, you will live also. One more time. Because I live also. Trying to find the bones of Jesus, you're not going to find them. I'll tell you that. They're not there.
Amen.
He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? God, I am the Son of God, and you will know me because you have been with me. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, woo, hallelujah, there's that action word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He said it again. If you love Jesus, you will keep his word. It's the word that he commanded. That we what? Love each other. Commanded that we love each other. That we love God. The first and greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God. Your heart, your mind, your soul. Then we have to God to love him. And then he said, love your neighbor. And in this era of hatefulness. People doing all kind of hateful things. Why? Because they think it's funny. Because they want to. You know, I was reading an article the other day where this young woman was walking down the street in New York, in Manhattan, and some guy just randomly comes and yanks her wig off, pulling hair and everything. It was painful. And she asked him, why did you do this? Why did you do this?
My God.
Because we all know when you have a wig on, it has combs all around it. Combs that you hook into the back, combs that you hook into the front. And if somebody pulls that off, those combs are holding that wig in place. And if it is yanked off, they are yanking out your hair with it. And what if it was? What do you call it? The kind of wigs that you get onto your head. Bottom line is, he pulls her wig off. What if it had been her hair that he's pulling and yanking on? And all she could ask was why. And one of his friends kept saying, apologize. Man, apologize. And he would not apologize. He just smirked the woman like she was dirt. And then he was smiling like, oh, yeah, I did it. And guess what? Touch not my anointed. Obviously, this young woman has an anointing. Because guess what? I think this through. That was an assault. You are an attorney, and you should have known better. Whether you are inebriated or not, you should have known better than to touch someone's personal space. This attorney lost his job at a very big firm. He lost his job because he allowed stupidity and being foolish to take over common sense. So, lost his job. But Jesus told us in his word, if you love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. He said, you know, I'm not just talking to him. I'm not just talking this. I'm going to protect my children. Because from an evil incident, this young woman has got over 5 million hits on her site. Because she was so hurt. You could see the tears when she said, "Why? You don't even know me."
My Lord.
And we think about the horrible things people do and all the kinds of mass destruction and children die. Why do you take these weapons of mass destruction and think it is your place to be the judgment of God? Only God can judge anyone. It is not man's responsibility to go and kill a bunch of people saying they're doing it in service to God. Because if God wants somebody to die, all God has to do is snap his fingers and you go.
Speak the word.
It's nobody's place to try to take the place of God. Because my word and my Father will love him. Told us love. We will come to him. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants us to love others. My commandment and keeps them is he who loves me and who loves me will be loved by my Father. All through an action word of love, we've got to learn to love each other. Hate is horrible. Feel bad. It makes you sick. It just makes you just all feel all, as the kids say, feel all icky inside. Because hate is not of God. And as we continue in this word, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. You have heard me say, going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, as you may believe, I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Love. And as we go back to John 14:16 again, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot get saved unless you go through Jesus. And I have to say, I'm so excited. On yesterday, we had 7 young people join the church. And not necessarily join the church, but give their life to Christ. 7 give their life to Christ. 5 will be baptized. And when asked, do you know Jesus? Each and every one, down to the littlest one, 5 years old. Say, yes, I do know Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? Yes, I do. Each and every one of these babies gave their life to Christ from 5 to 18. Look at God. One of them had just graduated on Saturday from high school, and he spoke with such authority. It just did something to my heart because you can see the anointing all over this young man. And Jesus says, and like this family says, the only way someone could come to the Father apart from Jesus is if that person had lived a completely sinless life in thought, word, and deed, and no one but Jesus himself fits that profile. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we are grateful, thankful, and blessed that the Lord can forgive us when we get on our knees and push. You got to pray. And you got to pray until something happens. And in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words and we will make our home with him. We obey Jesus not by gritting our teeth and doing what we hate, but by depending on his power to enable us to do what our love for him compels us to do willingly. Obedient leads to an intimate relationship. Are you obedient to God? Are you in your flesh? Are you doing too much because you think you are the one that needs to tell God what to do? We can't tell God what to do. We got to do what thus says the Lord. And I love this word. It says, every moment, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God of my days, come and fill me with the knowledge of your heart in a new way. I invite you into my mind right now. Breathe your peace that brings calm to the rush of thoughts going in multiple directions. I center myself in your love. Let my soul be grounded in your truth, causing all fear and anxiety to quiet and leave. Today I remember that my days on this earth are limited. Give me perspective that brings wisdom and not worry. I trust that you know my moments as well as the larger arc of the story. May my life be one lived with intention, intentional love, the wisdom of seeing past my own time frames of your spirit that leads me into the abundance of life, knowing every moment matters. And the question for today, are you living with eternity values in view? Are you getting ready for the Lord? Are you humbling yourself? Are you thanking God that he gave you another day? So that is our word for this morning. You know, and I have to do this, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of Jesus surpasses all understanding because it has a supernatural source in the heart of Christ himself. His peace keeps us from fear and worry because it brings us straight to him. Hallelujah. Keep God first in whatever you do. And let God be magnified in you. Hallelujah. That is our word today, Mother. So for today, have a great day, family, and keep God first. Watch him work in your life. And as they see you, let your light shine. Let those that see you know that you are not troubled because you are a child of God. And Mother, as we pray out, I pray to you. And we pray for all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're out and one to each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Family, have a blessed and wonderful day. God is in charge of everything. And Jesus has already told us who he is. He is the way. He is the truth. And it is through him that we have life and we have it more abundantly. Be blessed and have a great day. Mother, it's a wrap.
A word from Carolyn today?
Let me see. I do. Yes, I do. First started, I didn't have it, but I do now. Good morning. When people say no, come on now. God can still say yes.
Amen.
It's one word from God and in you life. In your life can change. Again, when people say no, God can still say yes. And when that banker tells you no on your loan, gotta make a way. All it takes is one word.
One word.
And everything in your life can change. Have a motivated Monday. Hallelujah. Jesus told us. Who is he? He is the truth. He is the truth because there's no way but his way. He's the way, he's the truth, he is the life. One word, love. Love everybody. Love your mama, love your daddy, love everybody because love will change your life. Mother, now it is a wrap, and thank you so much. Sister Carolyn for your magnificent word today. And thank you all for coming in and listening to Mother Valerie and I as we go through the word of God. Please come back tomorrow, because all I can say, it is going to be what said will be a great word. It is going
a
to
great
be
word.
A great word.
May God
a
be magnified.
Amen. Y'all say that with us one more time, Mother. May God be magnified.
Be magnified. Amen.
Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.